Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 906, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You've got some thoughts on this weekend. You're more than welcome to get in here. Anything you want to talk about. Anything. More than welcome to get in here. Let's go. 713-780-3776. Dave, we haven't talked. We haven't touched on this really. The U of H Texas Tech game. What up, Dave?
What's up, guys?
Did you go? Did you go to the game?
I did go. It was a Texas Tech home game.
They dominated the stadium.
I was worried about that.
It was a Texas Tech home game. The stadium was sold out of food by halftime. We got a lot of calls last week on your show from a lot of U of H people, and now we haven't heard anything this week.
Is that true?
I don't think we got a lot.
Well,
of them,
it's only 2 hours into the week.
But I don't know that we got a lot of...
Yeah, we didn't get a lot.
It was odd because a lot of the Cougar fans disappeared after the third quarter.
Well, I would have disappeared,
I tell you, Texas Tech was never – that was never in doubt.
Well, when you've turned the ball over your
Houston killed themselves.
Possessions.
But Tech also capitalized, and then they just held Houston's offense completely down after those turnovers, too.
Connor did not look good. No. Connor looked like his throwing motion was off. He looked like his jersey was too tight. I mean, honestly, he did not have the range of motion in his throw. I don't know. That was disappointing. They weren't ready. They really pooped the bed. Right out of the box.
Tech looked well outside of the Cougs turnovers. Tech looked like a team who, has invested to be this good.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah. Tech was pretty good. That's a pretty good football team.
Yeah. They have put the money in. Now our resident Texas Tech fan, Dez, was like, Texas has spent more than Tech and look what they've gotten. Yeah, but Texas didn't spend it apparently in the right places, but Tech has. They've built their lines of scrimmage pretty well.
So somebody said,
and they got a pretty good quarterback too.
Yeah, well, Baron Morton is good, but they said they got a backup that's like
He came in against Utah when Morton got hurt and played well, and but Morton's been their established guy, so they went back to him after the bye, I believe. But yeah, Tech is it's the reason they're a clear favorite to win the Big 12, and this was the year for them, or is the year for them. Morton even talked about it, I think, before, like at Media Day. He said, we're experienced, got a lot of guys, final year. This is our time. And they look it at this point.
Hmm. That's a pretty good football team. You know what? Wouldn't be surprised at all they don't win this win the Big 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a possible playoff team.
No, that's I'd say they're the favorite. I mean, you had Iowa State losing.
Yep.
To Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati took care of business.
Cincinnati looks pretty good too, but no, Texas Tech looks the best.
Yeah.
And where are we? Where do we stand with Texas A&M right now?
Texas A&M's a pretty good football team now.
Yeah, the final score is a little misleading.
It is.
Because that one was a real rock fight. For a good part of it, Reuben Owens came in, and I think – I forgot which back got hurt, but I think it was Moss got hurt.
Moss got hurt, didn't
and Owens came in and did the thing. We all know the story about A&M. They got a – now, LSU ain't great offensively, but they got to play them still. What else – I don't remember what else is left on their schedule. That's the one that jumps out to me right now. But what are they? You think they're better than Alabama?
A&M?
I'm not ready to say that.
I've seen a lot of Bama. I think that Bama's record looks good. Simpson's playing really well.
I'm telling you, I like Jeremy Bernard better than Ryan Williams.
Man, he's played so much. He's played more consistently this year.
Jeremy's really good.
You know, it's maybe crazy to say But Ryan Williams, as far as NFL prospects, I might like two Bama receivers because Horton's big. He's 6'4". He moves like a small receiver. Yeah. He caught a touchdown against Georgia. I think as far as Williams versus those two, I think the prototypical guys are Bernard and Horton.
They are, but, you know, we've seen Calvin Ridley. We've seen Devontae Smith. Like, they're not prototypical, and they get drafted high. I think Ryan Williams having a bad year from a drop standpoint. He did get a touchdown the other day. He's not been the same factor, although he actually statistically had a pretty good game. But I think he's got another year in college. I think he'll have a bigger year next year. Simpson is the guy that I'm like, is this guy going to the draft, going to come out after just 1 year as a starter? Because I'm telling you, Ty Simpson plays with poise. He's got a little escapability. He makes plays on the move when out of structure. He's got pretty good accuracy. I'm looking at all these quarterbacks who are playing themselves out of high draft positioning, and I'm wondering if Ty Simpson doesn't come into the draft this year. Because Archen coming in, and I don't think if he did, it wouldn't matter. He'd be a day three guy unless somebody wants to buy into the name again and get beat again by the name. You got Lenore Sellers hasn't done anything yet, although he's still got a chance to be the first pick. But Lagway is not draftable this year.
Yeah, right? isn't he a sophomore?
He's a true sophomore. Arch is a third-year sophomore, so he could. But Ty Simpson could end up. He may end up being a much bigger factor in this draft than I ever anticipated because he's playing
Nobody
well.
Nobody had Ty Simpson as a
– And then Carson Beck, who I always thought could rehab his image because he was considered the top guy before last year. And then last year he stunk, but he also had all of his top three receivers were all hurt. It was a bad year.
Georgia dropped a lot of passes.
Georgia led the SEC in drop passes. He gets to Miami. He'll still do some not great stuff. He'll still make some mistakes, but Carson Beck is going to be up there at the top of the food chain. I don't know if I'd really trust that necessarily, but that is what it is.
Mm-hmm. All right, 913 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Catching up on breaks.
I don't know if Keith Vanderbilt team. I was happy to see Keith Vanderbilt team. He always calls. He predicted they'd be 10-2. I'm not sure Texas has got a dogfight on their hands against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's going to be a dogfight for most teams.
Well, yeah, they host LSU, host Missouri, back-to-back games. Then they go to Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee. That's how it plays out. But, yeah, the LSU-Missouri back-to-back will determine probably if Keith gets his 10-2 prediction right.
Okay, let's break it here and talk a little jewelry, and then we get back on the other side. Anybody wants in, 713-780-3776.
Zadok Jewelry. Now, Zadok is, man, I love Zadok because Zadok just got done with Watchtoberfest. I talked to a listener. Well, he sent a direct message, and we spoke through the direct message, but he talked about how cool Watchtoberfest was. He goes, my gosh, you may have undersold it. The cool cars they had from Indigo, where they did cars, they had the canines as well, where they did a pet adoption, they had coffee, craft beer, they had Oktoberfest-inspired bites, and then 25 brands had watches on display that were a lot of new releases, things like that. It was a great party over there. And if you've never been to 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, what a beautiful showroom, 28,000 square feet. And when it comes to getting an engagement ring, you're just not going to find a better spot than Zadok Jewelers. They've got an entire upper floor, a second floor, where it's dedicated to the bridal process. So they're going to help you find the right setting, the right stone. They're going to help you with your engagement process. They do everything for you. It's amazing. And of course, you are going to get a ring that she is going to absolutely be blown away with. They'll work with your budget to find the perfect gift at Zadok Jewelers. Go to the website, start the ring buying process, or just browse around at ZADOK.com. That's Zadok.com, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard.
ESPN 97.5.
We had a nice meeting with Chris and Bill last week with Republic Boot Company. You want to talk about a special place. I mean, when you walk in there, the smell is the best smelling store you'll ever walk in. I'm not even joking. That is the first thing you'll notice when you walk in. Now, they purchased a whole building, so it's bigger and it's better than ever. And listen, they can customize your 1836 boots. They've got the boots on the shelf already, but if you have a logo, they can patch it on, or they can customize the straps, the pull-up straps for your business or your personal use, whatever, however you want to do it. But the 1836 boots, I mean, are right there ready for you. It might take maybe a week or two to put the patches on, whatever patch you want on, or to change the – but that is something that you can do now. They can customize corporate gifts, what leather wallets, wine totes, golf bags, toiletry bags, work bags, backpacks, travel bags. You're looking for something to give to your employees or to your customers, Republic Boot Company. But you got to do it now. If you want to get it done, because it takes a while. They're not slapping stuff on willy-nilly. This is quality, quality work. So whatever it is that you are looking for, Republic Boot Company has it for you this holiday season. But think about doing it now, because it takes a while. 1133 East 11th Street in the Heights. It's been around forever. It's bigger and better than ever. Republic Boot Company.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you. You've got time to get in. We've got a couple of segments still to talk about this Texans game or baseball or college football, whatever it is. 713-780-3776. Chris wants to talk about the U of H Tech game. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, guys. No, I was just saying that I was at the game Saturday night, and it was not a Texas Tech home game. I was actually really proud being a U of H alum on the way the how much Love You Blue, Columbia Blue, whatever you want to call it, showed up. And, I mean, this is NIL, right? You can just tell from where I was sitting, Texas Tech was way more athletic than we are, and it's just those things. But I was very proud of how many Cougs fans showed up. So I just wanted to refute that.
Yeah, you know, I saw a lot of blue on behind the Cougs bench. Now, a lot of red on the other side.
Yeah, I didn't get the impression from when I tuned in that it was just this Texas Tech crowd. Now, that's a Texas Tech fan calling in and trolling. But I didn't – yeah, I looked at it and thought, hey, the Cougs showed up.
I did, too. And there were a lot of fans, too. The upper deck was littered. It wasn't completely full, but it was – there were a lot of people there. Now, Tech is going to show up. I mean, that's the thing about – you know, playing teams in your state. And, you know, we're in a big city where there's a lot of Tech people. There's a lot of Baylor people. There's a lot of Texas, A&M, TCU. There's a lot of people here that will come out to the game. And that's great. That's fine. But U of H showed up.
Yeah. I wouldn't take that Tech caller at his word about how that game. Now, the game went a certain way, but as far as the excitement to start, yeah, man, I didn't get the sense of that either.
They didn't look. I don't want to say they weren't ready to play.
I thought the defense held up early because they're putting bad spots and they kept limiting Tech to field goals. They might give up some yards, and yeah, the offense just
awful.
Yeah,
and turning the ball over, it was just, well, they had one really bad call. They had a horrible call. I thought it was the that they called it was a lateral when it looked like, clearly like it was a forward pass.
I didn't see that.
It was on the side, and I mean he threw a bubble screen, but it was, and they called it that, they said it was a lateral when it looked like clearly that was a forward pass. But and that sucked because that was like the third turnover in a row for him, and Tech. You're right. The defense held up.
They did what they could.
Had a couple goal line stands.
Yeah, they limited Tech to field goals to keep the offense in the game, but the offense continued to not do anything, and even worse, turn the ball over. So, yeah, they're outmatched, but as the caller Chris talked about, and we've kind of talked about Tech as we've gone through the year, their team built to win this year, and the Cougs got a good class, and I'm sure that the NIL budget will continue to evolve if they see Willie Fritz and what he's building. But, yeah, I mean, now Dana talked about this years ago about entering the Big 12 and the type of athletes you'd have to deal with. And when you do a little reboot of your program, that still will be an issue. But I didn't see anything to suggest just because you lost in that fashion that the Cougs can't make a bowl game. I think, as long as they don't turn the ball over like they did, their defense is going to keep them in plenty of games.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, they got a white running back. I don't know. We got to think about that.
Well, I wouldn't even use that. I'd say because white running backs can thrive in college football. They thrive in the NFL. I would say they have a former Rice running back, Dean Connors.
He's a former
Rice.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He came from Rice.
Right.
That ain't exactly – he's a good player, but that ain't exactly Big 12 quality, the former Rice running back.
Well, enough, guys. Enough.
What a shot at Rice. Rice is just sitting there real nice, not doing anything.
So you just took a shot at white people, which is my thing. And I,
yeah,
so
why are you shooting at us?
So you're on my lawn. I had to do something else.
He didn't consider himself white.
Well, I don't know. I just think.
He considers himself Italian. He's maybe an identity politics guy.
When it comes to football?
Italians.
That's right. I mean, if his name, it was Gino Cappelletti. Okay.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. Yes. Okay. Gino, name a more recent Italian.
Franco Harris.
Wow.
Well, depending on.
What was the quarterback? Tommy DeVito. You had him.
We're talking about a running back. We're talking about running backs.
Right.
He didn't really claim Tommy DeVito that much.
No.
He only claims.
Woody Marxo.
It's not Marxo. Isn't he like from Mississippi and it's Marxo. Woody Marxo?
713-780-3776. How about a little baseball talk? We got
How about this? Did you hear what pull that up from Big Poppy? So
oh, yeah.
David Ortiz and was talking with Alex Rodriguez, just a couple steroid guys just kicking it.
Is that on the Cryon?
Well it should be in there. You know, they call it the tombstone where they say, you know, 14-year All-Star, Mitchell Report.
Mitchell Report.
465 home runs, incredible increase in power numbers during the steroid era. Just stuff like that. They could have stuff like
so
that.
So when Cal Raleigh eventually gets on a
let me be in charge of it.
When Cal Raleigh's talking for Fox in a couple years, you're going to
let
put
me
that
be in charge of it. That's all I
ask. I don't think they would let you do that. They're not looking to
incredible
highlight.
Incredible home run growth. Anyway, so they were talking about the Yankees. And you have to listen very, very carefully. First of all, you're going to think it's a ghost of Lima when you hear Poppy talk. It's awesome. But Alex...
I read what he said. I didn't see
it. Alex sets him up, and listen to what David Ortiz has to say.
You can trick yourself to say, you know what, fellas? If Max Fried would have played well or pitched well, we would have won. It would have been 1-1. So maybe you build on that positivity. Do you agree, Poppy?
They can bring Jesus back, and they're still going to go to Cancun.
They're still going to go to Cancun.
It's over. It's a wrap. So you know, this Toronto Blue Jays lineup ain't playing around.
They can bring Jesus back.
They're going to Cancun.
They're going to Cancun.
So Toronto blasted New York in game one.
It was homer after homer after homer.
It was great.
And the Yankees... They made it a little bit of a game,
big time.
It was 13-1, or what was it, 13-0 at one point? 13-1?
It's what it needed to be.
It was at its worst for the Yankees, it was, let me see, it was 12-0.
12-0?
And then they scored two, and then the Blue Jays added another one. Then the Yankees put up five the next inning, but it was already over.
That's done. The Seattle came back and looked nice yesterday. They had to Detroit, and we'll see what happens there. Cubs got their ass kicked 9-3. How about the Dodgers taking care down 3-0 and coming back and winning 5-3?
Shohei got off to a bad start.
Yeah.
Gave up three early.
And he was 0-for-4.
With four strikeouts, right?
Yeah. He got off to a bad start, but anyway.
He settled down and got the win. Yep. Didn't give up another run after that.
Yep. And they put up a fight. I'm thinking the Phillies are going to sweep them, and here they are losing game one. Let's go Phillies tonight. We got two games tonight. We got We got Chiefs and Jags, and quite frankly, let's go Chiefs. Mm-hmm. We don't need the Jags to be, especially they got a game up on you now. You beat them. They beat you. So we need the Chiefs tonight. That's for sure. I never rooted for the Chiefs. So this is going to be difficult tonight, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that's a closer game than it should be, right? Mm-hmm. What's the line right now? Five?
I think it's lower than that, isn't it? Hold on. The current line is, as we sit and talk on this particular day in our lifetimes, as John would say, Chiefs and Jags are 3.5.
The only reason we think better of the Chiefs
are 3.5
is because they played the Ravens. What? The Chiefs weren't looking good before that game. What's wrong with them? Their offense still sucks. They play the Ravens.
How in the world are they only 3.5-point favorites?
Because I just told you. What did you think of the Chiefs before they play the Ravens?
No. Yeah. The Chiefs are 3.5 at Jacksonville.
Yeah, still.
But he's telling you the Chiefs got right because they beat Jacksonville? I mean, because they beat the Ravens?
What did you think
we
of them
beat
before?
The Ravens even worse.
Yeah, we did. I don't care. They're the Chiefs.
Be careful. Well, they're the Chiefs. That's what people are saying. They're the Ravens.
I don't know who was in the Super Bowl last year.
But we talked about them all through the year, getting lucky, the refs helping them.
The loser of the Super Bowl. Remember how many years the loser of the Super Bowl came back the next year and just were ass?
I'm not saying the Chiefs are bad. They're probably because the Chargers win that division again. But don't let the Ravens win convince you that they're not, that they're something they're not. Going into that game, we're questioning them. They looked bad against the Giants, even though they won that game. Of course, they had already lost to the Eagles at home, and they lost to the Chargers in Brazil. There were real questions about them going into that Ravens game. Didn't they light their ass up? We're supposed to pretend like the Chiefs are good again? They're fine.
How in the world did they think that this was a Monday night game anyway? Right? I mean, Chiefs and Jags in week five?
Well, Liam Cohen. Well, you got Chiefs you expect good things from. You got Liam Cohen, and they spend a bunch of money. They got Brian Thomas was a star last year.
He can't catch a cold now.
I could see where you could think, all right, you know what? Maybe we catch. I could see them saying they spent some money again like they always do. They got a defense. They've got Brian Thomas, who's an emerging star, and
how
hasn't
could you
played
not
like him at all.
How could you not want to feature this guy?
I mean,
Duval.
It is Jacksonville, which is low energy.
RJ's
stadium.
Not allowed to play that.
Say, hey guys, don't make. They're on our air. Don't make fun of him.
All right,
Duval.
Let's break and let's.
Is it making fun of? That's how he talks.
It's not complimentary when I play
it's
this.
Just how he talks.
It's not.
Do you think that's a compliment
it's
to play
so
this?
It's so not complimentary. They won't allow him to play it in Jacksonville.
That's fair.
It is fair. All right. We got to talk about Kent. You want to talk about fair? You want to talk about great? I'm talking about my man, Kent Jones, over at Dream
Rate
Mortgage.
He's fair and honorable.
He is honorable. He is, I'm telling you, this dude is just better. When you're buying a house, okay, this is not your business, right? You're not, unless you're a real estate agent, but if you are a real estate agent, there's still a lot of stuff to do. I mean, you got to get the lender, you got to get the survey, you got to get the title company, and a whole lot more. And who does that? Kent Jones. Brokers are better. And still less than 3 out of 10 people use a broker. And yet, at closing and through the life of the contract, we're talking about possibly saving tens and tens of thousands of dollars. That's a lot of money when you're talking about the lifetime of this deal, right? And not more than that, at closing that day, you could be saving ridiculous amounts of money. He's going to show you how to shop. He's going to show you. He's got the ultimate mortgage hookup. He could even maybe find you a buyer's agent that'll rebate part of their commission. I mean, the dude's been doing it for 30 years. He's done over, I don't know how many he's done, 1,400 career closings. Ridiculous. He knows all the hacks. You don't. So if you're going to buy a house or you want to find out whether or not it's affordable, if you can buy a house, give him a call. He'll answer your questions. Kent Jones is here for the people. 713-520-5626, 713-520-5626, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118, equal housing lender.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
So I guess we've settled in on Juice Scruggs.
He's the guy now.
Yep.
So long, Lakin Thomas.
Lakin is, and Trent Brown was active yesterday.
Yep.
So he's going to be the swing guy.
Well.
Is that Blake Fisher?
Blake
or Trent Brown
got a game when they went to a heavy personnel package because I think he had a penalty. So.
Well, they brought him, Trent Brown up from the practice squad and put him on the.
I don't know who's going to be the official swing though. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody goes down, who actually gets in a game?
Mm-hmm. This is our line now, though. This is it.
Mm-hmm. So, Juice Scruggs went from bag holder to starting guard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Nice come up for him.
But like D'Amico said. You know what? D'Amico said, you got to earn it.
Yeah. Did he earn it? We are not there every day at practice. Did something change with Juice?
I hope so.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other guy so bad, we got to put Juice in. I hope it's the opposite, where he just took that job.
So Ariante, Jake Andrews, and Ed Ingram. Three new guys that they got this offseason that are mainstays now. They're solid.
Some will say, ooh, they're terrible. They're this offensive line. Well, I don't think they're terrible. And there's signs that maybe they're getting a little better as they're playing together. Look, it just has to be better than last year. Because if it is, and CJ, by the way, has been hanging in a little bit better, throwing the ball. Like, CJ's doing some things that are a little more courageous in the pocket. So, I don't know. We'll let it play out. I think
I'm one of the best.
The offensive line from a run blocking standpoint is definitely better already.
Mm-hmm. They're better. They're just flat out better. Okay? They are. So
we're not concerned about it. You guys certainly shouldn't be concerned about it either.
Yeah.
Well, but we can be concerned about it if we want to be.
Amico and I, we're not concerned about it. So we're not concerned about it. You guys certainly shouldn't be concerned about it either.
I understand that. I understand that. But we might be concerned every once in a while.
Yeah, we were concerned. We were concerned in the first three games.
And don't you feel foolish?
We're not as concerned now. We were concerned in the first three games. Not as concerned.
I'm a little less concerned.
Can we make a trade of defensive line groups? Can the Seattle Seahawks trade for the Ravens defensive line group next?
That would be nice.
I'd be less concerned if that could happen.
Don't forget, you just gave Kyle Hamilton a ton of money and drafted Malachi Starks in the first, who, by the way, I was not a Malachi Starks guy at all. So that blood is not on my hands.
You're not going to take
Wouldn't
it
Wouldn't be me that drafted Malachi Starks in the first. But I still love Kyle Hamilton. I still think he's a great player, but they got heavy investments in the safety group, and it's not mattering in the air.
Well, no.
They are getting beat up.
Yeah, they've been bad. He didn't play yesterday. Roquan didn't play yesterday. Two guys they paid a lot of money to, and Matabuike they paid a lot of money to. So that spine of their defense, completely done. A lot of money invested, not playing. That's what I said. Hey, Seattle, you want to make a trade?
Seattle, you need some?
Yeah. You wanna add some guys?
Yeah. All right, who's on the line that wants to talk Baker? BJ? All right, let's get BJ in here. Hey, BJ.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Quick question. Is your intern the baby of the ESPN 97 guy, 5 guy? When you go to commercial break, he sounds just like him, I swear.
Which guy?
Which guy?
The guy that does the ESPN 97.5 when you go to commercial break or when you're coming back. He sounds just like your intern. Is that his son?
No, you think he sounds like our voice guy?
Did you?
No.
Wait. It's out there right now?
Yeah. I don't know that that's the case.
It's not even remote.
He sounds just like him.
Hey, Sean, you want to walk in here for a second?
Here and just talk. Can you play? Do you have something you can fire off for the ESPN voice guy?
Yeah,
hold on. We'll put him on hold. I'll put you on hold, and we're going to do a little taste test right here. Okay, play the ESPN 97.5. Sean, we want you to say exactly what this guy says in just your regular voice. Go ahead. Play something.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
All right, on ESPN.
Now you say that.
You're back in the Veritex.
Just say you're back. You don't have to get to the Veritex.
You're back in
you're
the Veritex.
You're back with John and Lance.
You're back with John and Lance. Say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
You're back with John and Lance.
I think he put on a voice.
Yeah, he
to
did.
To match it.
You did try to drop your voice a little bit. I know you had to try to add a little more bass.
You're back with John and Lance.
You're back in the Veritex Studios.
I mean, it's better than me compared to some of the sounders I have.
Yeah.
I mean. Remember that guy?
No, what is that?
The United guy on the plane? Remember the United?
Oh, yeah, when he was getting
tased or something? Yeah. It's better
that
than that
terrible.
Guy.
Roped.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know, TJ.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so, Sean. BJ, what do you want to talk about with Baker?
Is Baker Mayfield an MVP candidate? I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan, but they showed the stats yesterday when they was playing the Seahawks. They in the last minute, they won each of their games by like a total of 6 points.
Dude, it's true.
I don't think he's get the credit. He got a lot of flack when he said, yeah, it was boring with Tom Brady, but he's been backing it up. I mean, he's keeping everybody's job over there. He got a few guys promoted to head coach, so I give credit where credit is due. I think he's an MVP candidate.
Man, you're not lying. He is coming back. He's got a ton of comebacks on his resume.
He's got, what, three? Is it four or three game-winning drives?
I think it's three.
They had to come back and beat the Jets, came back to beat the Texans, beat Seattle. Who's their first win? Who else did they beat this year? That's at least three. 10 touchdowns, one pick so far for Baker. So he's not even turned the ball over. Like, what is his reputation?
Yeah.
I don't know how you keep him out of the – it's only – five games.
No, but
and the
you
Falcons,
have to. They're winning.
And the Falcons, they came back. I think he led a game-winning field goal drive against the Falcons. I think he's done it four times
four
already.
Four times. Like that, yeah, Baker deserves – he deserves attention. He deserves attention for it. The usual suspects that everyone goes to, Lamar, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Yeah, Josh's having a good year, whatever, but he's won it last year, so we'll see. You're not going to have a position that's other than quarterback win the award. Just doesn't happen anymore, even though it probably should. Who stands out to you?
Daniel Jones.
Oh, my God. We live in a world where Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield are slugging it out for MVP.
Is he going to win MVP and comeback player of the year, Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones is winning comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, but, okay, well, was he hurt or was he suck? I don't believe in comeback player of the year from suck.
No?
Just because you suck doesn't mean.
Why?
Because.
Why do you have to
he's
be hurt
had
to
one
win it?
Year. He had a year where he was the playoffs. He's the favorite right now. Aiden Hutchinson also was. I mean, to me, a comeback's got to be, okay, you came back. Like, everyone comes back from injury now. DeMar Hamlin didn't even win it, and that guy had a heart attack on the field or whatever.
He was legally dead, wasn't he?
Yeah, Joe Flacco won it because
well,
it's
not
like
legally,
Flacco's
but he
back
died.
From the. Well, I shouldn't say back from the dead. Flacco was back from retirement or whatever. Daniel Jones was borderline out of this league. Like, this is from being a first round pick to a joke. Like, I think Daniel Jones is absolutely the kind of guy.
Well, who are we missing that should be, that could be MVP right now? Baker, Josh Allen.
You know, not Jalen Hurts. His numbers really
aren't
good.
No, Jalen Hurts, I mean, he's catching it.
Yeah,
his numbers really aren't any good. He's catching it hard in Philadelphia. As good as they are, and they got one loss
now. Not Aaron Rodgers. Bo Nix?
I mean,
he's not.
No, they're still turning to losses.
He hasn't been better than Baker.
I mean, nobody.
Dak, if the Cowboys can
Dak?
Be pretty good.
Yeah,
but Dak is really good.
Dak's numbers are phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, Dak might be the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, but what's their record?
They're above 500, right? What are they? 2-2-1? Oh, at 500 at the time.
Dak's got 10-3.
What did you say, John? He might be the what?
He might be the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that
far. I'm one of the best.
Well, yeah, we know that.
Yeah. Well, then if you're going to say that, don't expect CJ not to.
Jared
you know, Daniel Jones does have six touchdown passes in five games.
Yeah, he doesn't.
That's not really lighting it up.
They do hand it off to Jonathan Taylor when it matters in
the
red zone.
Well, you know what? Then maybe JT should be.
Offensive player of the year.
Maybe he should be MVP in this particular
year.
Well,
you just said it before we started the conversation.
I know. It rarely ever happens, but is this the season, though?
How about Goff?
I don't know what his numbers he's put up. Of course, they're good.
Yeah, he's 12-2.
Yeah, that'll put you up there. I don't know
if he's 75% completion percentage, 1,100 yards.
Looking to do that? vote a Jared Goff or Baker Mayfield as MVP?
Well, they can not like it. Well, they can't vote Justin Fields.
No.
They'd like to, but
they can't.
Justin Fields is still not good.
You're right. They can't.
Yeah,
do that.
Don't know. It's been since 2021 he hasn't been good, and there's people just holding that hope like, well, actually, no, he's never going to be good.
I don't think Tua can win it.
No, I don't think
but he is.
Can
How about he's 10-4?
The numbers are good, but the defense is awful. They gave up.
He lost again.
They lost a big lead.
He sucked.
Why
did he give up all his touchdowns late?
Because
Bryce the skateboarder Young.
Well, forget about Bryce Young. Rico Dowdell goes for 200 plus yards, or nearly 200. Did he go over 200? I lost count at some point.
I think he wouldn't.
That had to be so disappointing.
Above. He was at 167.
Not really. You know what? It's actually pretty freeing when you realize your team stinks. You can just wash your hands
of
it.
Okay, the best teams, you got to be a winning team. It can't be Aaron Rodgers.
Matthew Stafford.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he's up there too. Stafford's putting up numbers.
Herbert's not putting up the numbers
Stafford,
right now.
Dak.
Baker.
Jared Baker.
Goff. Yeah.
I would tell you right now,
putting up the best numbers.
Baker Mayfield's one of the favorites. Should be.
He should be.
That's a tough beat for Israel.
Israel doesn't
listen
like this
to all the
board
quarterbacks
at all.
You listed off, John.
Yeah.
Woo. What the? Kind
he
of
probably
board
doesn't.
Is that?
He may not even.
What
consider.
What is this? 1967?
Do you think Israel considers Dak?
Jared
Prescott?
Goff, Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, Dak.
I mean,
all white guys.
Well, not Dak specifically.
Why can't Dak be a white guy?
Because he's not.
Drake May.
Maybe. Just looking at the list, the age of the dropback quarterback is back.
It is.
Right now.
It really is.
Right now, the top three
favorites.
The top three favorites right now are Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, and Jared Goff.
I think Dak will move up that list.
Well, no, I take it back. Allen, no, that's not true.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's still up near the top. So we'll get an update. We'll get an update after this weekend. After this weekend, we'll get an update, and we'll see. Justin Herbert still probably has got to be mentioned.
Keep him out of the NFC East. As long as he doesn't play those teams, he's just fine. He stunk the last 2 weeks against the NFC East. Well, when Joe Alt got hurt, that crushed him too. But Chargers win three division games. Can't beat the NFC East.
Is this really from this last week?
Yeah.
Before this week, the MVP odds at one sports book were Josh Allen plus 120, Pat Mahomes plus 450, Justin Herbert plus 1,000, Jordan Love plus 1,200. I would think, Daniel Jones can't be, the stats aren't good enough, but I would think.
Yeah, but if they keep
think Baker Mayfield must be in the top three right now.
Yeah. What did we miss? We missed Jonathan Gannon actually hitting.
Did we talk on the air about Mark Sanchez? I don't think
it was
did.
Mentioned, but because of what have you learned?
So
but we
Mark
never got
Sanchez,
to it.
Basically, yeah, Mark Sanchez was in Indianapolis to call the game, the Colts game yesterday. Former NFL, first round pick, Jet, all that stuff. He was in there. I guess he was drunk.
Yeah,
he was pretty drunk,
allegedly.
And he started yelling at a food driver who I think it was about where his car was parked or something like that. He started yelling at him, and apparently. Mark, so make sure I got this right. So Mark was the one who went and pepper sprayed the driver?
Apparently he put him on the ground, and then he got into his cab, and apparently the guy was upset.
And he pepper sprayed him, right?
Yeah.
Mark pepper sprayed him?
I don't know who.
A third party apparently got involved and was the one who defended himself. And
I believe, at least the initial reporting I saw was the guy who got, Mark Sanchez was pepper sprayed, and when that didn't do it, then the guy had to.
See, that's what I initially saw too, but they
that's
said a third party got involved, I think.
All we know is we went from, man, Mark Sanchez, one of the greatest men I've ever known, thoughts and prayers, to arrested. He was the assailant.
All right. So Indianapolis police arrested Sanchez on charges of battery and other misdemeanors while being treated in the hospital after being stabbed following a fight early Sunday morning. The bizarre incident took place ahead of the Colts game. Well, this doesn't have enough information.
So more embarrassing for Mark Sanchez, this weekend or the butt fumble?
Ooh, I think this weekend's going to end
Depends
up.
On what he values in life more.
Well, he both,
we
both
have
lost
video.
Some jobs.
We have video of the butt fumble. We don't have video, at least not released yet, of this.
Right.
The butt fumble will live on forever unless we get video of this. So I'm going to go with the butt fumble for now. But getting arrested At least you can shake off, oh, that's football. Yeah, it's embarrassing. But getting arrested and you apparently were trying to assault a 69-year-old man?
Is that how old he was?
I
think the third – what I had heard is a third party got involved or something. And that guy, Sanchez, went after him too. And I just know that he went from – yeah, went from stabbed in the hospital, surgery, like, oh, my gosh. And Dan Dakich came down and attacked all of downtown Indianapolis.
Well, not all of it. Just the African-American
just
part
the black
of it.
Kids, yeah, for stabbing. Some black kid stabbed Mark Sanchez. Oh, it wasn't? It was – Mark Sanchez
was a 62-year-old driver.
I know. And it turns out that, oh, Mark Sanchez. So I didn't even know the story. And then I saw in there it turned into some culture on Twitter. I'm like, of course.
Better. Yeah, Dakich. Is Jonathan Gannon going to get away with hitting DeMarcado on the sideline?
Ooh.
If you missed it, Amari DeMarcado had a long 70-something yard run. It was about to end in a touchdown, and he kind of just let go of the ball as he was crossing the end zone, you know, doing his cool thing where he looks really super cool.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's a touchback, and all we see is a video of Jonathan Gannon. How come they haven't showed it on ESPN and turned it into a thing yet? It really happened. So Jonathan Gannon, the head coach, came over.
He was
lighting him up, and as he's walking away, he slaps – and. You could think he's trying to do like a five, but it hits him in the arm, in the forearm, and somebody else is kind of pulling Gannon away. Yeah. It looked like he was just pissed off and slapped his arm.
Yep.
I mean, it didn't hurt Amari DeMarcado.
No.
It's just a really bad look for Gannon. And my guess is Gannon's going to have to answer about it today.
Yep.
For sure.
More than likely. All right. We got News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, so don't go anywhere.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right. What states have the most gold diggers?
I'm going to say the state of Dallas.
Nope. Two things.
The state of gold diggers.
A new study revealed.
I don't think it's going to be California. Oh, well, most. Total amount, maybe California.
Well, it depends on your definition of gold digger. But Nevada is obviously.
Okay, I thought Vegas was too obvious.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but do they live there, though?
Yes.
Or do they just fly in to dig for gold?
Florida's number one. Nevada, number two. Texas number three.
Yeah, we had I said, Dallas, it just shoots us way up to the stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where is the worst place to live? Vermont.
Dallas.
Vermont.
Oh, for
fewest gold diggers.
You think someone taking your money is good?
Well, what your definition of gold digger is, right?
Any other definition? What's the other definition?
Well, they take money for. Services?
No, not necessarily.
That's just a prostitute. Well,
gold digger
is
someone, often a woman, who romantically pursues or forms a relationship with a wealthy person, primarily or solely for financial gain and material benefits, rather than love or genuine connection.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
But
there's a lot of gold diggers who don't have to do anything.
You say it like it's a bad thing. Okay.
She's literally stealing your money.
Well, you're not stealing your money. You're giving it to her.
And she pretends to like you. That's called strippers.
Okay.
That's what strippers do. When's the last time you heard about that going well for anyone?
Well.
This is a long-term stripper.
But
this is like a stripper that's not
but
one
strippers
day,
don't actually don't do anything. Oh, gold diggers do stuff.
This not is a turn. This is a turn because when I used to suggest that strippers didn't always do something, you're like, Del, come on, please. Come on. Come on. They used to do that. I was like, you know, John, not every stripper is like, come on, Del. What are you saying?
Right.
Some do things. There's a champagne room for a reason.
No, but I say, for the most part, the guys who are involved with gold diggers, they know what they're getting into.
They're aware.
It's fine.
It's fine.
The 65-year-old man
with
the 31-year-old woman, he knows what's up.
That's a different.
What?
See, gold digger to me, I guess it can depend. Like I said, there's never been a stripper situation that ended well. And this is like, she's going to be a stripper for multiple years, taking your stuff.
If she ends up being a dental hygienist, yes, it ended well. Okay?
So she's with you five times in 3 years. Is that worth it?
Well, I
don't, that's not much.
Why only five times?
Why? Yeah, where are you putting numbers on
that? Not much. I don't even want Melissa hearing we're talking about.
This is a bad terrible conversation, Melissa. You don't need to be in on
we're talking about gold diggers.
You're talking to Melissa like she's 15. Yeah. She's a grown woman.
Because John's here. Because. That's why we're talking about gold diggers. She said, why are we talking about this?
Because I'm here.
Because he's here.
Yep, that's it.
I don't think you guys should besmirch gold diggers. It's a give and take
it's
thing.
It's a fine profession.
It's not a profession, by the way.
It's a fine profession.
It's
I'm
not
a,
she can have a W-2 or a 1090. No, then that's not a profession.
Is she an independent contractor?
Yeah.
If she's an independent contractor, then pay taxes on it.
Well, okay. If you have you ever heard of somebody getting put in prison for not paying taxes on gold digging?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Then it's not a profession.
I just think two people entered into this agreement for the most part knowing what the deal is.
Yes.
Like you know what she's on. You know what time she's on.
I agree.
Some guys don't, but probably so. You would think the rich guys know. You would think the rich guys know what
they're
up
fine
against
with it.
Yep. They're fine with it. You get everybody, it's a transaction.
Everybody gets what they want. You ever seen those videos on Twitter making fun of all the old guys who are in, I think it's Thailand, and all the girls are there with them.
Are they girls?
Just thinking, pretty sure they're girls. Okay. Well, you know.
You never know. You don't know.
And they just said, this is the easiest scam for them. I'm like, no, the guys know.
Yeah.
The guys are in like, no, this is great.
It's fine.
You know.
Fine. It's a transaction.
That is gold digging, but that's also like, it's transactional. They know the deal.
All right, we're done.
Couldn't even get past a gold digging story.
We did one weird news of the weird.
That took over, though.
Yeah, it did. It really kind of did. We're done. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Mopey and Mapes next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day.
All Carson Beck all the time, everybody.